السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه، فويل للقاسية قلوبهم من ذكر الله، أولئك في ضلال مبين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, world, amongst the various organs of our body, the heart is something that we are very concerned about. And if we are told that there is an issue with the heart, it greatly concerns us, because it means that a person could soon suffer a heart attack, and that could be the end of his life. And even if he doesn't suffer a heart attack, in order to resolve or to find a solution to the problem, it means that the person will have to spend a considerable amount of money and many days and many visits to the specialist and the hospital, etc., to try and resolve the issue with the heart. And of course, in Islam, as Muslims, we are taught to look after our health. It is exceptionally important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to keep ourselves active, to keep ourselves fit. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-da'if. The gist of that hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who is physically fit, he is active, he is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, every single believer has got goodness in him. But that's the physical heart. And at most, even if the person goes through one operation after the other operation after the other operation, then we will say that that condition is restricted, it is confined to this temporary world. Our late Mu'inus Padal Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Alhamdulillah, we had the good fortune of spending time in his company. So there was a point where, towards the end of Maulana Rahmatullah Ali's life, he had major heart complications. He went for many operations. And there was one particular major operation that Maulana was about to undergo. So he was very emotional during that Jumu'ah. And he mentioned that, I am going for a bypass. And if I happen to pass by, then do not bypass my grave. So we find that that condition of the heart, many people suffer with it. May Allah Ta'ala grant shifa to all those who have got medical conditions. Allah Ta'ala keep us all with afia. However, when it comes to our spiritual heart, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the spiritual heart, the purification of that spiritual heart, if that heart is in a good and sound condition spiritually, then Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that body, that entire body will be sound, it will be in a good condition. In other words, the actions that will emanate from that body will be a reflection of the condition of that heart. Whether it's the actions of the hands, you will find good actions will emanate from the hands, whether it is the tongue, whether it is the pen, whether it is the typing on the WhatsApp groups. We have nowadays the keyboard warriors, as we call them. Then you find the messages will be reflective of the condition of the heart. And Allah protect, if the heart is corrupt, then you will find corrupt actions coming out from that heart, or coming out from that body. Whether it is in the form of the physical actions, whether it is the form of the words that emanate from the tongue, or the remarks or the statements that come out from the keyboards. So in this beautiful ayah of the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gist of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, can that person be compared, that individual who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded his chest, and there is a nur and illumination in that particular individual's heart and in his life. Can he be equal to that person who has been deprived of that illumination and that expansion of the chest? So the Sahaba Ikram, Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, has recorded this in his work in Ruhul Ma'ani, and he has mentioned that the Sahaba Ikram, narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, they said, Ya Rasulullah, how do we know that this nur has entered the heart? Are there signs? We spoke about the medical condition. We'll find that the doctor will say that you need to do ECG, or you need to go for this test or that test, or you need to go for some x-rays, whatever it may be, to determine the condition of the physical heart. So the Sahaba Ikram said, Ya Rasulullah, is there a way that we can determine what's the condition of our spiritual heart, that our heart has been expanded, the nur of Iman and Islam is within the heart? How do we know? What are the signs? هَلْ لَهُ مِنْ عَلَامَ Are there some signs with regards to the illumination of the heart? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned three signs, and we will touch on these topics with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability and the tawfiq to make an effort to develop these qualities. We cannot ever make the claim that we have got these qualities. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى Don't ever make the claim of effort to become pious. But we can never make the claim, I am a very pious person. That person who says, I am very pious, and some ulama ikram have mentioned, that when the person makes the claim of piety, that know that is despicable in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From that moment, he has become despicable in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the salient features of the Sahaba Ikram, of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was their exceptional humility, their exceptional tawadu. They humbled themselves, they regarded themselves as absolutely nothing. And there are so many incidents of this nature, where even though they had achieved such great achievements in their lives, they regarded themselves as absolutely nothing. May Allah Ta'ala grant us such a wonderful quality. And just to touch on this, the reality is that that person who has recognized the grandeur and the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where will he ever be impressed with his own greatness? It is like the example of a person who has got a candle in front of him, and before that candle is the brightness of the sun. So will he ever be impressed with that little candle that he has got in his own palm and in his own hand? He will say, Alhamdulillah, this candle is there. But in comparison to the brightness of the sun, this is absolutely nothing. And in the same way, that person who has been able to achieve some goodness in his life, whether it is his generosity, whether it is his piety, whether it is his intelligence, whether it is the great amount of social work that he's been able to achieve, when he looks at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of his pious predecessors, then he says to himself that mine is absolutely nothing. That even though I may have been spent so much of money, what is my level of sincerity? The sincerity is not to that extent, because I am looking for some, name and fame in the process. On this, suddenly something comes to mind. Our late Mu'anis Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that the person went for multiple hajj. Allah gave him the tawfiq, he went for hajj upon hajj upon hajj. So somebody went to visit the person. So when the person went to visit him, he told his son, okay, bhai, bring the kajur from the fifth hajj. Bring the kajur from the fifth hajj. So Hazrat used to say, what was the need to say the fifth hajj? It was so that the person that is sitting there can acknowledge the fact that this person has performed five hajj. So sometimes we do some actions, but we're looking for some attention in the process. You told him that I contributed here. Make sure you tell him. But these are signs that there's a deficiency in our ikhlas, in our sincerity. It should be such that when we do, or when we contribute, as is mentioned the mafhum of hadith, that the one hand is not even aware of what the other hand has contributed. The person completely forgets that amal. Coming back to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned three signs, and the first of these signs, al-inabatu ila daril khulud. The person is inclined towards the everlasting abode. The heart is inclined towards the everlasting abode. And this is a condition of the heart. It does not necessarily mean that this person now, you know, outwardly he completely neglects his condition. As Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullahi used to say, ke dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi ye ba khuda rahe, ye sab ke saath reh karke bhi sab se juda rahe. That this person in the midst of his activities of this world, he gets married, he has children, he runs a business, he leads a perfectly normal life, but his heart is attached towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala speaks about the condition of the sahaba ikram, rijal la tulhihim tijaratu wa la bay'un an dhikrillah wa iqami as-salah wa ita'i az-zakah. Allah ta'ala speaks about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite the fact that they were involved in the activities of this world, but their hearts were linked and attached towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the everlasting abode, the akhirah. So the heart needs to be attached towards the akhirah. This is a sign that this person's heart is illuminated. May Allah ta'ala bless us with this quality. Now the question is, how do we develop this inclination towards the akhirah, towards the year after? There are many things that we could do. Sit in the company of those individuals who have got love for Jannah, the works of the pious predecessors that will ignite a yearning for the akhirah. The person performs his salah, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These will all inculcate and foster an inclination towards the akhirah. The second quality, and there's so much that could be said on the first, but the time does not allow. وَالتَّجَافِي عَنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ. That the person he separates himself from this world, which is a world of deception. It is a world of deceit. That this world beguiles us, it deceives us. The person runs after this world and runs after this world, and the world completely abandons this person. We find, and the ulama ikrama will bear us out, you'll find people will build an entire empire. And when the person leaves this world, he doesn't take anything with him. And instead what happens? His children and grandchildren begin to fight over that empire to such an extent that that entire family relationship is destroyed. Brothers are not speaking to brothers. Parents are not speaking to children. The entire family has been separated just over that wealth. That same wealth became a means of destruction for that entire family. So this world is a world of deception. Our late Mu'aynus Sahib rahmatullah used to say that even if the person buys his own home, he should say to himself that this is just merely a timeshare apartment. It's a timeshare apartment. You got the title deed now. 5 years, 10 years, you'll use it. And then after that, what happens? That house gets passed on to the next person. And gets passed on to the next person. And in that way, it is so to say a timeshare apartment. And in this world, this is a world of departures and arrivals. There are people that are arriving and there are people that are departing. Just recently, there was a nikah in a family, and within a few hours or moments thereafter, in the very same family, there was a janaza in that family. Khaja Sahib used to say, Jaha shadiyati wahi ab hai matam. There was a wedding and a moment of celebration in that family, but now there is nothing but bereavement, there is nothing but sadness. That entire house has been turned upside down. This is the nature of this world. We cannot trust this world. So the person separates his heart from this world. Now the question is, how do we do this? And what does it mean? Does it mean that the person abandons everything of this world? May Allah Ta'ala reward our ulama-i kiram. They've explained this so beautifully. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah used to say that in order for the ship to reach its destination, it requires water. Water is necessary. It's a necessary element for that ship to reach its destination. And if that ship will allow the water to enter within its space, then the sinking of that ship is inevitable. It's going to sink. It is important that that ship keeps the water outside. But at the same time, the ship requires that water. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." This world is a means for the akhirah. This is your moment of investing in the akhirah. And in investing, again, something comes to mind. One person came to our late Mu'ayyinus Sahib, rahmatullah. He said, "Maulana, my brother is insisting I must invest. But I don't have any money. I'm just barely managing to, you know, make ends meet." So Maulana called the brother. He says, "You are telling your brother to invest. He can't even afford a good vest. Where is he going to invest?" So the person, people in this world, they're concerned about investing. You know, invest now. Later on, you can, you know, reap the benefits of your investment. And there's nothing wrong with that if the person has got surplus money. But how about investing in the everlasting abode? And that is the real investment. In this world, we find so many investments. What happens? I think crashes or some corruption takes place and the person loses from that investment. But the investment in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely safeguard that investment. So, Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that in this world you will have, there must be some attachment to this world. Having an attachment to this world is not condemned in Sharia. The person loves his car, he loves his home, he loves his family, he loves his children. There is nothing wrong with that. But we should ensure that that love does not dominate the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As in the ayah of the Quran Majeed, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, until Allah ta'ala says, أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that is more beloved to Allah, أَحَبَّ, is more beloved to Allah, more beloved than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, then wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some ulama have said that you should make sure that your mahabbah for Allah and His Rasul is at least 51%. Even if it's 51%, you've passed. So Hazrat used to say that in those days, we had the envelopes, and when you would seal the envelope and the person would send his letter or whatever it was, correspondence overseas, then when you would seal that letter, glue would be so strong that you would have to tear it. And you would tear it open. But today you will find that the envelope is such that you can open and you can close, you can reseal it. So he used to say that our attachment to this world should be such. Yet yes, we are attached to our family and we love our family and we love our children and we love our vehicle. And there is nothing wrong with that. But it is a love that we can't separate from. That if the vehicle is stolen, the person feels some kind of pain. The person's child is lost, the person sheds some tears. The person does not cry when he loses his child. We may even say that this person is insensitive. For indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shed tears when he lost his beloved son. That is the right of the person that has passed away. So to feel that pain, to shed those tears, is not against the teachings of Sharia. But the person is able to detach himself. Hazrat used to give the example of two women, one being a disbeliever and one being a believer. And after many years, they are blessed with a child. Many, many years. And then suddenly what happens within a few months, that the child of both these women passes away. He used to say, who will it become much more easier to overcome the pain and the sorrow? It will be that person who has been blessed with iman. Because they will say, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That yes, I feel the pain, but everything belongs to Allah. And Allah had blessed me with this child for a short period of time. This child has been taken back, and inshallah this child will be a means of my salvation in the akhirah. So yes, the pain will be there, but this person will be able to overcome it. So the second sign is at-tajafi an daril ghurur, that the person separates himself, his heart rather, from this world which is a world of deception. And hence ulama state that every night and every now and again we should make this muraqabah. We should contemplate that I will have to leave everything behind. I will have to leave this car behind. I will have to leave this home behind. I will have to leave my children behind. And when we go to the graves, take a lesson from the grave. You find sometimes people, what happens? People, instead of taking a lesson from what is happening at the qabr, people are discussing politics. They are discussing the rand. Instead, what should we be doing? We should look at that grave. And Hazrat used to recite, Shukriya qabr tak ponchane walo, Shukriya. ab is manzil se akele hi chale jayenge hum. That person who is now being transported to his grave, it's as if he is saying, I thank you, O my friends and my family, I thank you for transporting me to my grave. But now from this station, I will have to travel on my own. I'm all on my own. And the person, when he stands there, he will contemplate, he will take a lesson from that grave, that one day I will have to be here too. And finally, the last of the signs that the heart has been illuminated is what the ahubu lil maut, that the person, he prepares for death. He is ever ready for death. And hence every single day we should wake up and we should say to ourselves, in that one famous hadith narrated by Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu an, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned to him, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكْ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدَّعَ, that when you stand up to perform your salah, perform that salah as if it is the last salah in your life. And we can transcend this in every action. That when I'm going to my business, I'm going to my surgery, I'm going to my practice, this could be the last day of my life. Let me make it the best day. Let me conduct myself in a wonderful manner. Let me be kind, helpful, in whichever field I am. Let me be an honest trader, because this could be my last day of trading. And let me make it the best day. This Jummah and this Salah could be the last Jummah of my life. And if a believer conducts himself, he will excel in everything that he does. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminates our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the darkness from our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reawaken our hearts. And indeed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about the importance of purification of the heart. That if the heart is purified, the entire body, the actions that will emanate from that body will be pure, will be wonderful, will be a source of benefit for society. And that heart which is corrupt, may Allah protect us, we will find corrupt actions emanating from those hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. May Allah ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.